Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Welcome to another episode of Early Call Time.
Hooray!
Hi.
With Andrew, JJ, and Nadav.
Hi, Nadav.
Hi, Nadav.
Hi, JJ. Hi, Andrew.
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's
good to be here.
Yeah, I told JJ this earlier, but I had a dream last night that you and I got into a massive fight, Nadav.
Who won?
Well, not a physical fight.
Oh, okay.
But still,
a battle of wits?
Who won? It was more like I was like, I've had it with all your shit. I'm tired of this crap. And then that was pretty much it. I just sort of went off on you. But the best part about it.
That's so weird. You don't have a backbone.
No. The best part about it.
That's how you know it's a dream. It's like if you were flying, it's a dream. If you have a backbone.
You son of a bitch. All right. But the best part was that we were having this fight while we were wrapping up the equipment. And we were in a furniture store that only sold items from the 1980s.
Oh, sounds like you could make a whole bunch of expensive mistakes in there.
It looked like the set of Miami Vice or something.
Okay.
Sweet.
Anyway.
Did I go in and break everything?
No, that was like a whole dream. I wish I could like extend this further, but
there was a lot of opportunities to be had in there. Like if I actually like was placed into a dream.
Right.
But this isn't what the podcast's about. What's the podcast about, guys?
I felt like that was
digital versus film.
Back in the day, everything was shot on film, and now everything is shot digitally.
Not everything, but about 95%.
Well, what's crazy, too, is that digital is getting crazier and crazier, is that, you know, 1080 came out, and then 2K, 4K, 6K, 8K, 16K.
Is there 8K, really?
I saw something that was 16K.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm. Were you just looking at a window? Is that what it was?
It was gigantic. It was probably the size of this room.
Well, it's 16,000 pixels by 16,000.
It's interesting because I was reading an article about 4K TVs, and they're like, if you're going to get one, don't buy like a 13-inch 4K TV because it's not going to make a difference.
It's stupid. Yeah.
I don't even know if they make a 14-inch.
Probably
not. But it's like,
costs $20,000.
They were saying like, you need to go at least like, I think 50 inches, they may have said, or 60 inches for it to really like have a noticeable difference.
High definition is 1920 by 1080. 4K is 4,000 by 4,000, roughly. So,
and those are pixels?
Those are pixels, correct.
Pixels.
So the bigger the image, well...
Pixels sounds like a breakfast cereal.
It's like Cheerios.
Did you have pixels for
breakfast? Now, what's interesting about digital is that, or at least, you know, back when film... you know, I don't know if you guys remember back in when you were like in third grade or you were doing your sixth grade graduation.
I didn't have a...
Well, for mine... Eighth grade. Eighth grade. Grade. Well, they asked for like little baby slides of you, right?
Nope.
Yes or no? No? Okay.
No.
Well, for mine, they asked for little baby slides.
35 like, millimeter slides.
Exactly. Yeah. Little 35 millimeter slides of, you know, sure. Pictures of you and a baby.
Right.
As a baby, not in a baby.
with you and a baby.
With me definitely in a baby. As a baby, as a child, not dressed as a child. I was dressed as a child, but only because I was a child.
You're just digging the hole, man. Just keep digging.
I know, right? So so they would project that hugely onto the projector that, you know, all the sixth or eighth grade parents came to go see. And it came from a tiny little image.
Right.
And what's cool about film is that you could project it onto pretty much any size without losing quality, right?
Well, not any size. I mean, they set up those movie theaters so the projector projects to the best resolution possible for mm-hmm. that projector.
Mm-hmm.
There are limitations in that.
All right, right. There's limitations with everything, but it was like you can't get away like that with digital, can you?
Well, if it's through a digital projector, I'm sure you can.
So what are the, so let's describe the pros and cons because clearly I'm not grasping it. When I got into the game, film wasn't even really around.
Sure, and I've never had to work with film. I did get to talk to an assistant this week that actually I work with who has worked on movies such as Revenge of the Nerds 2.
Sweet.
Real Genius.
Oh, nice.
Poltergeist.
Real Genius is the one with the talking babies, right?
No.
That's Baby Genius.
Baby Genius.
Real okay. Genius is with Val Kilmer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But he was an assistant on those back in the '80s. And,
sweet.
And I asked him like, well, you know, what do you have to do to work with film? then, and then, you know, now we don't really deal with film at all. And he was going through the whole thing and how they get the reels and how you have to sync up all the reels with the audio. And it was very interesting. And I would really love to have him on the show sometime and talk about that.
It sounds like the same process in digital, but like more manual.
Yeah, it's very much so. It's more like factory work, if you want to say.
Did you ever make a film in college? Like, have you ever shot on film anything?
No.
Because I did one.
I've never shot on it.
Nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the... One of the 19 schools that I went to was Montana State University in Bozeman, Montana. And the nice thing about that program is they do put a film camera in your hands your first semester. And they're like, go out and screw this up, and then you'll come back and you'll find out why, and it'll cost you some money, but you'll have the life lesson and you'll never use this technology again. So,
sure.
Yeah, they put a, you know, they give you a 16mm camera.
That's good.
And you got to shoot a film. And they kind of, it's like, you know, you got to figure out light meter readings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, and then, you know, we went out and we shot a 1 minute black and white film, and you send your film off, you have no clue what it's going to look like. And it comes back and, it's completely blank. And so then you go into the editing room and sucks. You dig through the bin of footage that other people discarded who successfully shot on film. And you try and put something together with other people's table scraps.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Which is how ours turned out.
Do you have a copy of it still?
I don't even remember. What? No.
I would love it if we could post that to the website. Yeah. So everyone could see how good Andrew is.
But it's like you have to, and it is physical, like you get cuts on your hands because you're literally
cutting,
you know, splicing film together.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did it. I don't know. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I remember going to a taping of Friends and they shot on film. And I remember at the end of the night, they like have the big cart full of film and they're wheeling it out of the studio. And I'm like, all this could. There could be nothing on there. I'm just letting you guys know that might be empty, but they probably knew what they were
doing. Well, yeah, with repetition, you figure out, oh, this is going to work. This is how we develop the film, and it works out okay.
Remember when they used to talk though about like how many feet of film something shot? Or I remember reading a book by a director, I forget it, Sidney Lumet, who did Dog Day Afternoon.
Also, that was for the record. That was like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So.
Sure, whatever.
But I remember...
It's not a big deal.
I'm just trying to cover my tracks at this point.
It's okay.
In Sidney's book, he's talking about... I don't know if it's Dog Day Afternoon or some other movie. He's talking about they're shooting a scene in a phone booth, and it's an 11-minute scene with just one shot. There's no
coverage. Oh, so they go through pretty much a whole reel.
No, they had two, so they actually had cameras set up right next to the lenses as close to each other as possible so that when one ran out, the other one could start.
Oh, wow.
So that they would capture the whole thing because they literally didn't have enough.
And this was 35mm, most likely. Okay.
So that's another thing. It's like if you want something like that, you can't even really. If you do it on film, it's difficult.
Yeah. Shows now shoot on film still.
Who shoots them? Do you know who shoots
them? Well, Walking Dead shot on film for a very long time, at least for the first season. They shot a lot of stuff, Walking Dead, on 16mm. 16? To get that grit, that gritty look.
That grit.
And then they started doing a lot of the visual effects digitally because you get... If you can shoot it at a higher, let's say you shoot it on the Alexa, which is a 4K image.
Right.
When you're doing the digital enhancements, you have more of a finer detail to it, so it makes it look real.
Yeah, especially for a show like that.
Exactly.
So much.
Exactly. With film and digital, they kind of do a hybrid, which I don't want. I would love to be an assistant for the show, but at the same time, I don't know if I want to because you have to deal with multiple formats in that aspect.
Are they still doing that?
I think they still do. I think I'm not sure 100%, but the last time I checked, I thought they had shot on both. But I don't work for the show, so I don't know.
I remember. Have you guys ever heard of a movie called The Room?
I've heard of it. I've never watched it.
I believe the guy who made it is named Tommy Wiseau,
mm-hmm.
and it's known as one of the worst movies ever made.
So we're not having him on the show now.
Well, I mean, to tell you the truth, we probably could get him on the show. I think he's open to it. I assume he would be open to it. But one funny thing that I remember hearing from the making of that film is that he didn't know what technology was going to be taking off, film or digital. So he had a digital camcorder side by side with a film with a I think it was a 35mm. And so he successfully made it so that
He could cut the movie in both.
He could cut the movie in both, but the eye line would be fucked in everything because no one knew what camera was the one that was going to be used. So it was just inconsistent all over the place, which is what adds to what makes it so amazing.
Yeah.
Such an amazing film. Also, a funny or at least an interesting thing about digital versus film is that the makers of stock film footage are deciding to stop making it. And you may ask me how I know this.
How do you know this?
When I went to for an interview at this post house, they were saying, hey, you know, we're going to be getting a lot of footage, a lot of like projects done on film this year. I'm like, really? That's interesting. Why is everyone going back to film? And they said, because, well, they're thinking about stopping to make it, so everyone's just trying to get their last fixins in before it's unavailable.
Oh man.
But I did hear that there were a couple filmmakers.
But it could even revive in itself could revive the fact that maybe they're like, oh shit, maybe we should keep on making this.
Well, there are guys like George Lucas and stuff who signed on, like committed to buying a certain amount of stock from, I think it was Kodak, so that they would keep making it for a few more years at least.
Yeah.
It was Soderbergh might have been on there too. There was a couple like notable directors who were like,
we want to shoot on film.
Yeah, like, and we'll buy it from you.
Now, here's an interesting question.
Why do those directors like film so much?
Well, I think purists? I can't speak for them, but maybe they just love the feel of it. Christopher Nolan is huge on film. He might have been one of those guys as well to buy a lot of the stock. Because whenever he sees a cut of his film, it has to be in a theater on film. It cannot be on a QuickTime. It can't be in a bay. It has to be on the screen, because that's
what it feels like.
That's the pure form of film. And I respect that. I think that's notable.
I think that's actually really sweet. Because the new Beverly, I mean, I know that Quentin Tarantino is also a huge film nut.
Yeah.
Yep. And he actually just made like an announcement that he is going to, he bought the new Beverly a couple years back when he heard that the owners were having trouble keeping it open and land developers wanted to tear it down and turn it like into apartments or shopping places or something. Mm-hmm. So he's like, fuck that. Like, I've been watching double features here all my life. For as long as I'm alive, this is going to be playing films. Like, 35mm film. And so he let some dude be the director of it for a while, and he didn't fire him or he didn't quit, but now Quentin Tarantino's like, all right, we are now officially going to start screening my personal collection. So now Tarantino's like going to be like every Friday or once a month is going to be some crazy like grindhouse movie that like Tarantino grew up with that he's going to be screening there.
See, that's pretty cool.
And
it's his own personal...
And also theater. Once a month, he's going to be screening all of his films. Or every month, he's going to be screening one of his films so that you'll always have a chance to see his films on film.
Oh, that's so cool.
Which is really sweet.
Yeah, I would love to go see Reservoir Dogs on film. I did actually get to see Reservoir Dogs on film when I was in Indianapolis. I went to one of those like dine-in movie theaters.
Oh,
and
sick.
And I didn't think
not a drive-in.
No, dine-in.
Oh, dine-in. Okay,
like
I thought you said. Oh,
recliners, and then you know, you
like the way rich white people see movies.
Yeah, yeah. There was like 10 people in there, but
I've done one of those before. Yeah. It's literally the best way to watch a movie.
It is pretty good.
If it's not on film, that's like the best runner-up.
You know, what was really cool was Michael Madsen introduced the film.
Oh no, nice. Shit!
And he was just in town or something.
That's
amazing. And they're like, do you want to introduce it? And he's like, yeah, sure. And he gets up, he introduced it, and then he sat and watched it with us.
They probably like gave him free ribs or something.
And maybe, but I mean, it was cool. Yeah. It was so cool. And it was like 5 feet from him, and I'm like, holy shit, this is awesome. But it was one of those movies that I really enjoyed when it came out.
I feel like the thing with film versus digital is that like for people like us who can appreciate the look of film and kind of the feel that it gives, like
the touch,
that's one
the
thing.
Feel of cotton,
the touch, and yeah, if, is the film made of cotton? It is,
no,
right?
No.
But I wonder if like mass audiences care at all. Like the majority of people going to see a Michael Bay movie, are they like?
Probably
I mean, I don't
not.
Think they are.
Probably,
and
probably
the
not.
Cost, you know, it's so much cheaper to shoot on digital.
You
yeah.
I don't
instant.
Think you'll see a difference in box office tickets if something's shot on film as
no.
opposed to digital.
I wonder if it would go the other way, if people would start going back now and being like, why does this look so? It's like grainy and
why do I see so many cigarette burns?
Yeah.
That is an interesting question.
Because people are, you know, generations now are used to plasma TVs and, you know, high definition everything and like.
Have you been to the New Beverly, by the way?
I haven't even been to the Old Beverly, so.
Well,
zing!
One day I will take you to the New Beverly. I have a gift card for 8 viewings at New Beverly.
Why is this the first time I'm hearing about this?
Because we never talked about it.
Was I supposed to ask you about it?
Dude, anytime you mentioned it was going to have to be the first. There was going to be a first time.
Yeah, this is the first time.
And the first time I hear about it is on the. How long have you had these tickets for?
I don't know, a year or so. It was a birthday gift.
From your last birthday?
Maybe a year or two ago. I can't remember.
Ooh, so does that mean that you get like tickets
for a lifetime
to like special showings though? Like
I'm not sure.
Like for example, so I saw that like American Pie double feature thing there. Like would those tickets apply to that too?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So
does it apply now even though like Quentin's not going to come out and hit you in the knees with a 2x4?
It said for a lifetime.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it doesn't
expire. They meant
expire.
Lifetime movies.
Oh.
Like the Grumpy Cat Christmas movie.
Could you get me into some of those?
Into some of what?
Some Lifetime movies? Maybe
I can't. I don't even. I think all my bridges are burned.
Fair enough.
Sorry, guys. But the New Beverly
is a wonderful theater.
It's one of the best. It's one of the best theaters in LA, I think, because they have all these awesome. Like they actually have events that you'd want to go to. The other month, I went to American Pie double feature where they showed the first one and the last one. And then between the two, they had a Q&A with Jason Biggs, Tara Reid, the guy that played Finch,
who's in Scorpion.
And Hung, the MILF guy, the Asian dude.
John Cho?
Harold, yeah, John Cho. That's it.
Nice.
And
I think you tweeted about it.
I did. Yeah. I posted some pics about it. It was fucking amazing. Jason Biggs is one of the funniest people I think I've ever seen live. And
I think of all the people we've interviewed, I would say he was.
And that's interesting because I usually don't like him in TV and movie shows that I see him in.
Really?
And you didn't watch him a lot of movie shows?
Huh?
Do you watch a lot of movie shows?
Did you like him in Orange is the New Black?
I'm so tired this week, guys. What?
Did you like him in Orange is the New Black?
See, I didn't really like Orange is the New Black.
But you kept
even
watching.
Even though I've seen all two seasons. Well, because when I say I don't like something, I need to cite specific examples.
So you have to.
So I need to watch
that.
Everything. Because look, I can't be the asshole. It's like, oh, I don't like what I've never tried. Like, that's not.
Sure.
Assholes talk like that.
Stop looking
sure,
at me.
Sure. Well, I don't know if we've really come up with a conclusion about digital versus film.
Oh, yeah. Huh? We kind of want
to. Are we supposed to come
there.
Up with it?
I don't know exactly. But.
Conclusion?
Well, if you filmmakers out there, if you want to shoot cheaper, shoot digital.
True.
Unless you're shooting 16K, then maybe stick to film.
But where are you say we wanted to make a movie on film now, like where do we even start? Where do we go get a film camera? To an antique store? Do we have to
call
up Panavision and be like,
Aeroflex?
Can you go to the basement?
Aeroflex? Do you want to shoot 8mm, 16mm, 35mm? What do we
IMAX.
Start? Okay, 72.
Jumbotron.
72mm. Okay.
Well, the IMAX, is that still... I don't know enough about
that's
IMAX.
Film.
That's still film.
Real 3D.
I believe so. Do you know that the cameras on those are like the size of a Buick?
Yeah, and the projectors, I think they said, are the size of like a Volkswagen. But my friend Simon, who's working on Star Wars right now, has shot IMAX film.
Really?
So
that's impressive.
He can talk about that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Sure. And he's really small, so it's really funny because...
Smaller than you?
Yeah. And
tight.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But
well,
that stuff is amazing.
If we decided to shoot something, one, we'd have to find a camera.
Right.
Two, we'd have to find...
Because let's pose this as though we are...
Sure, and
really
I am.
...wanting to do
and,
it.
And I am. And I... And what was that, Nadav?
Don't worry about it.
So we have to find a camera.
We have to find a camera. We have to find a cinematographer that is actually shot with film. Because I'm not going to shoot. I'm not going to give it to somebody that's only done digital.
Hey guys, my buddy Brian. My buddy Brian has a camera.
See, okay. Is it a film camera?
It is a film camera.
Okay. So our listeners can contact Nadav's buddy Brian,
who
so,
I think will be on the podcast at some point.
Perfect.
All right.
Okay, so we have someone to shoot it. All right. We got something to shoot.
And he's audio, got the camera.
He's got the camera.
Audio is fine. Audio is still the same. We can still do 24 frame. We can have him record. That's fine.
Okay. We need stock.
We need stock. So we need to go to a post house or Kodak themselves and ask, we need stock, but we don't know how much we need. We have a budget for this.
That's true. I don't even know. I wouldn't even know how much film. Well,
I guess
it depends what frame rate you're shooting
at. Well, if you shoot on 16, you're going to get more film than you would on a reel than you would for a 35 millimeter reel.
Because can you imagine being on a situation where you're on a set and you're shooting a scene and you were like, well, we got it. And you're like, you did? You're like, I don't know, but we don't have any more film left. That's not even
That's not even an option now.
No.
I mean, people, just drop it down to a hard drive and reformat.
It's like, we're out of hard drive space.
Yeah.
It's like, well, someone go make a run of fries.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's the same kind of deal, though. Like, run to the post house and get more reels.
Oh, we need somebody. You really need a camera assistant who's worked with film, too, because you got to be able to change out the magazines, and that's a whole special. You need a tent.
You need grips and electric that have run lighting for film, because it's a lot more lighting than for digital, usually.
So you're going to need some sort of video assist setup, which would be different, right? Than I don't even know how that works.
It's possible.
Well, because on a digital camera, you just plug into the camera and you're watching it. But on a film camera, what are you watching?
You'd have to have a video assist, yeah. Okay, so let's say we shoot that. We have to take it to the post house and have them develop it. Mm-hmm. That usually takes a day.
Now, when they develop it, are they developing it just to be able to cut on a movie all or are they developing it for digital editing?
Well, from what I have read... Because
we could go both routes.
Right.
We didn't even decide if we're shooting black and white or color. Color's more expensive.
It's true.
Black and white it is.
Well, if you go into
art house,
Avid, you have to make a master.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have to make a cutting master, I believe. Because you don't want to cut into your master for the final picture until it's locked completely. We don't want to make changes to that final because that first print is like gold.
Right.
And
so the post house is going to digitize the footage? Is that...
They put it in and then they track it.
Right.
Per feet and all that. And they give you that information into the Avid.
And then you, quote unquote, relink everything afterwards, which is actually just probably printing the tape.
Well, if you finish your film, if you're editing, like you said, there's two routes. You go the Moviola route, then you have to have a cutting master.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's Moviola's?
That's the actual...
Imagine the non-linear editing software Final Cut or Avid. Imagine a actual machine that edits things like those big old paper cutters.
Oh, yeah.
With the lever.
So you're cutting the film.
Is that the thing where you're looking through the little screen? It looks like a Nickelodeon machine.
Yep. It looks like a projector with a reel-to-reel.
Right.
Yep. So they cut it that way, and you could actually cut it film for film and then put it onto reels and... Eventually, you would get reel 1, reel 2, reel 3, reel 4.
For a feature,
it's reel 5. There's 5 reels.
What about your sound?
See, that's where you have to sync that with your film. And
it's like the 30s.
This is what I was talking to the assistant about. I was like, so exactly that.
How do you take a horse and buggy to the room where I'm going
to
cut it?
How do you sync the audio to the film? Well, you go to the slate. And what they do is you put an X on the video where the slate stops. Where it claps.
Okay.
And then you have to go through your audio reels, and you have to find on magnetic tape the audio.
So if you have a credit card with you, that's wiped out.
Yep.
Okay.
Pretty much. So
it's probably wiped out at this point anyway.
You find the slates, and you line it up, and you run it out. And that's how they get the
now. Is that why audio. Like the guy is saying, audibly saying like scene 15 Apple take one so that you know.
Yep. Because if they didn't,
you just hear a clap.
Yeah. Now see, in today's technology with digital, you can run time of day time code, and all you have to do is say ACAM marker, and then you hear the marker.
Right.
And if they do it correctly, you don't have to sync manually. When they're syncing the footage, they just sync by time code, and then it's all sunk and it's fine.
Right.
But with film, you don't have that luxury.
Yeah, there's no pluralize.
Right. For and, film. And so there, so you have
which
to
is
do
a syncing software.
Yes. And you've used software. It a lot more than I have.
I have.
And that's why film is more mechanical in the aspect of putting it together.
Sounds
okay.
like a nightmare.
So if we were to go that route,
okay.
we would have to put together all these reels.
Yeah.
And then, and at that point, you have to put together a EDL for a cut list to send to the post house.
What's an EDL?
It's called an edit decision list. And it shows basically wherever you cut and what frames were cut where and where this is an in to an out. And it just basically shows all your decisions that you made in your edit. And you send that to a post house and they put together the master from that if it's completely locked. So now if we would go the digital route, you shoot on an Alexa. You still have all the people running sound. You
right.
have grips and electric. They do things a little differently. And then...
But we don't have to go into a time machine to find someone to shoot it for
us. That's true, because people are now using modern technology.
Yeah.
You do send it to a post house, and they still sync it. They sync it in the Avid or Final Cut.
Okay.
They still
that part I did not
they
know.
Still have to they have to put these things together. They have to marry them together.
That's not what the assistant editor is doing?
Some places they say that syncing is part of the job.
Okay.
But for bigger productions, usually a post house does it for you.
Okay.
And the assistant checks the work and makes sure that everything is in sync.
Got
and
it.
If it's not, you put it in sync and then go from there. You bring in the footage, you download it, you back it up. You cut your feature, and then when you're done, you send it back to the post house, and you say, here it is. Let's go back to the original RAW files that we used, and that's what we're going to use to color. And we're going to send this audio, this digital file, to our audio guy, and they're going to do their work on it, and they're going to give it back to us, and we're going to put all this beautiful, colorful video to beautiful audio, and then we have a finished product.
And so also the thing with digital is you can have multiple people working on it at the same time doing different things. Like, you know, you have a visual effects person can be doing their work while the audio person is doing some work. And
well, with film, they would have cuts that they would give to all
but then you've got to print a new cut every time, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to shoot on film. I'm over it.
It's okay. Like, wow, you think we're made of film over here?
Yeah.
So... For that, I mean, the fact that I was able to talk about the digital process in about a quarter of the time that it took me to describe the film process kind of lends itself to, like, well, we might as well shoot digitally.
Yeah, you could get more done faster with digital.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, you don't have to wait for it to get developed, which is a huge part, a huge bottleneck in the post process.
And you don't, and like you said, you don't know what you're developing. there's.
I know, I didn't.
Yeah, there's.
Also, what if some schmuck just fucks everything up in the developing process?
It's very
what
possible.
If he spills
too?
His coffee on the print.
Well, see, there was a.
We call that sepia tone. That's how sepia tone was born.
That's there's a great documentary on Netflix called Side by Side, produced by Keanu Reeves. And
Speed.
Yeah, and it talks about digital and film, talks about this exact subject. And they were talking about how DPs, or the directors of photography, really loved film because the directors and everybody on set had to trust the director of photography because they're the ones that are like, this is going to look great. You have to trust me until tomorrow when you see it in the dailies. And that's, you know, they had to have this trust. But now everybody sees exactly what's being shot right then. So there's this, the power that the director of photography used to have really doesn't have that anymore. And, you know, that's another thing why people really love film. There's power in it.
I even remember using my dad's light meter that he loaned me when I was in college to shoot on film. And it looked like some, like, steampunk prop. It had like a crystal in it, and it was like made of leather and wood, and I obviously didn't know what I was doing.
Do you still have that?
Yeah,
bring it in. Or it should be in the other room, isn't it?
No, it's in the other room, 1140 miles away from here.
the other
but it's
yeah.
around
yeah well
anyway
yeah
whatever
well it, I think we've talked about digital film enough, right? Yeah. Maybe we could cut that one down a little so people don't have to hear us ranting about this.
Or were we whatever. Ranting?
I don't know. Not really.
I was interested.
Hey, guys, I think I have a surprise for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just sit tight and listen to this.
These are some sound bites from the Dawes childhood.
These are some fucking sound bites.
Sound bites.
Super cool sound bites from the Dawes childhood.
From the Dawes childhood.
Get ready for some sound bites from the Dawes childhood.
Dude, that was beautiful.
Hey guys, are you ready for some sound bites from Nadav's childhood?
Oh, is that what we're doing?
I think so.
That was awesome, dude. Nice job.
I don't think it's done yet. I think it could add a couple more layers of intensity.
It was pretty sweet.
I think I need to add some retarded sound bites in there from
yeah. movies.
I think that's what would top it off. Maybe. But it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
I slipped it into the last episode, so this will probably be the second time the listeners hear it. But this is the first time that Andrew and JJ are hearing it.
It was a magical experience.
Yep.
That was great, man.
You like that?
I loved that.
Thank you very much. Well, with that, let me stomp your dick into the ground with this very tough game of trivia.
Oh, fuck. I'm going to win.
Now, you see, guys, you want to know how I know that you guys are going to have a very hard time with this week's game? It's because a lot of these bites come from movies.
From your childhood?
That you guys weren't able to guess previously. In other trivia games.
Then why are you doing it again?
Just to laugh.
Because he's
just
sick.
Just to watch you sweat.
He's sick. All right.
So, JJ, don't look at the screen.
I'm not.
Because you have the best look at it.
Hold on to your butts.
Well, that's Jurassic Park. Was that one supposed to be a soundbite?
Yep.
Oh.
Did you get it?
Yeah, Andrew, Jurassic Park.
There it is. Ding, ding, ding,
nice
ding.
Nice job, buddy.
See, that's crazy that.
I thought that was like the start of the game.
That's
crazy. Oh, dude. Put that in the intro.
I will.
Hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your butts.
There it is.
So you see, that's surprising that you were able to get hold on to your butts, because that's even less words than
I
was going to guess Jurassic Park 2.
That's an iconic, like when I went to see that at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery,
and
people
Clever Girl
went
isn't?
Nuts when.
Really?
Oh yeah, that was. Like, the whole place was cheering. They
no
were
shit.
High.
But in that part, all he's about to do is, like, check if the lights are still going to turn
Yeah, on. But it's like, I feel like it's one of the iconic lines from the movie.
Hold on to your butts.
I still don't remember Clever Girl.
Do you know the blonde girl that was in that movie?
Yeah, which one? There was the younger one and then
the younger one.
The one that was...
I had a crush on her.
Grant's makeup buddy.
When I was that age. I found out she's an artist now.
Hmm.
And you can get... art commissioned by her.
Could you commission her to paint a painting of you and her running away from velociraptors?
Maybe.
In a kitchen?
I'm going to look it up. I am serious about trying to get her to paint
for
something.
For 20 years, I thought that was Kirsten Dunst.
That would be amazing.
I'd be hilarious.
And the cool thing is you can have a Skype interview with her and... Or meet her in person, and she like talks about like you know she trying to figures out your personality, and she tries to paint something that matches you. Anyway, we were talking about Jurassic Park. I thought I'd throw that up there.
Well, that's terrific. So yeah. I'm glad that you guys got that bite of Jurassic Park. Andrew surprisingly is beating JJ
for once in your life.
This is question one. For once in your life, this is great.
You beat me in other things too.
Okay, yeah, so but you
here
help.
Comes the next bite.
Oh,
I took a shower washing every body part with actual soap. Including all of my major crevices, including in between my toes and in my belly button.
Damn.
Which I never did before, but sort of enjoyed.
You're welcome.
Well done.
I wash my hair with the Don't Formula shampoo and use cream rinse for that Just Wash shine.
Sounds like he has a weird list.
Now wait for
I can't
it.
Seem
wait
to find my
slap.
Toothbrush, so I'll pick one up when I go out today.
I'm going to turn this down.
I have a shape.
Classic.
You could turn it down on the board. It might be easier.
Whatever, we're fine.
one and one.
Okay, one guys.
One. Yep.
This next one is really near and dear to my heart.
Shut up! You're killing me, Smalls.
JJ.
Yep.
Sandlot.
Damn it.
Yep. How do you make s'mores?
I don't know.
Like
First,
this.
First, you take the graham. You stick the chocolate on the graham. Then, you roast the mallow.
Guys, roast the mallow.
When the mallow's flaming.
When it's flaming. Like Andrew.
You stick it on the chocolate.
Stick it on the chocolate.
Then,
I want a s'more right now so bad.
I'm really hungry.
Yeah, me too. Then you scarf.
Oh, Andrew, I thought your religion kept you from being able to eat s'mores.
What religion would that be?
Some cult?
Presbyterians?
It's from the West. The West, they're Baptists from the West.
If we
the West Baptist Church?
The Westboro Baptist Church.
Westboro Baptist Church.
Yep, that's it. That's the one.
Yep, that's my pappy.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. I'm not.
Oh, boy.
I didn't know your last name was Phelps. All right, guys.
2-1.
2-1. Here comes number 4.
Know this. Killing is my business, ladies.
JJ.
And business is good.
And business is good.
Major Pain.
Yep. You got it. Ding, ding, ding.
I got that one last time, too. That
you
one,
did.
It took like 3 times to figure that one.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that. I saw it once, and I hated it so much that...
Oh, my God.
When he does the robot... Holy shit.
It is the best. Major Pain is a movie where if it ever comes online, it's like right next to Drumline for me.
Right next. Which to you still need to write a,
I will.
Your dissertation.
Also, on. I was thinking at some point, one of these unhosted, where we don't have a guest podcast, I think I'm going to try and recite as much of Drumline from memory as possible.
Do we even need to be there for that?
Well, we can play it on the TV. We can play it on the TV.
Oh, I don't need a new reference.
Well, I do.
He doesn't have to trace.
No, because I will condense the movie into about 20, 30 minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
I'll take out all the unnecessary stuff. All
right, thank you.
All right, guys. And now here's the last one.
I've already lost.
Yeah, you already lost.
Yeah, you already lost.
You've already won.
So I guess this one's just for fun.
Oh, thought you were going to tell me what a bad Googleizer I am.
JJ is just waiting to give it to Andrew.
But Andrew
so
Zoolander?
Stupid.
There you go, buddy. Yep.
But there it took you too long, so no one gets that point.
That was wonderful. I'm glad that we were able to do that again today.
Yep, so this week, at this point, I feel like JJ has like 6 jars of sauerkraut coming to him. Because that's what the winner
really
gets.
Really, that I'm winning. This
sounds delicious. Hopefully soon we'll have coffee mugs to give to people that actually win.
You're going to have great if we started having coffee, too.
Yeah, true.
Because it's only 114 degrees outside.
Yeah,
got to stay awake somehow, buddy.
Anyway. Thanks for listening.
Yep, if you guys want to leave us a text... voicemail.
Yep. Text.
If you want to ask us any questions?
Yeah.
You could reach us at
267-225-225
chat. 267-225 chat. Holy shit, guys! Oh, I just fucking got it all by myself.
Finally.
265-032.
267-225 chat.
Yeah, so if you guys want to drop us a text message or leave us a voicemail or...
We're also on Twitter at Early Call Time.
Yeah, or on Facebook or on Instagram. No.
Or they can go to our site, earlycalltime.com, and go to the Contact Us page.
They could also email us directly at earlycalltime@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we also, each of us release 1 blog a week.
Yes, we do. So, we don't talk about that on the podcast,
but we do. All right, guys, so thanks for listening to the podcast, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.